You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition. A good Saturday to look forward to as well. Hennessy Gold Cup Day at Newbury. It's also Fighting Fifth Hurdle Day at Newcastle. Alongside that, Doncaster, Bangor and Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. We start at 11:50am on Racing Radio with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Mick Norton and Andrew Mount. So do tune in for that right now. Though I'm joined in the studio by Paddy Aswell to look ahead to the action. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Enjoying Newbury at the moment. We're going to take a quick look back at day one of the Hennessy meeting before getting stuck into day two. And we'll talk about that in more detail. But some good performances already at Newbury this weekend.
Fantastic. Very impressed with not graphing in that novice limit handicap chase earlier on. I know it's not one of the bigger races today, but that really is a horse going forward, and he absolutely destroyed them. The Dan Skelton horse there dropped back to 2 mile today, travelled well, jumped great, and you know, bolted up. The horse in the novice chase of Paul Nicholls, he was very, very good on his feet. He'd had the benefit of a run around Chepstow this time, but he was foot perfect. The 4 year old Plandazobo, he was in no danger. One Great Tracks horse. His race was over from early doors. He never had a cut at all at his fences and was just given a school round. Couldn't do any more, really. It was disappointing, but Clandazobo was different gravy there, to be honest.
Yeah, he's been given a quote of 12-1 for the JLT Novices Chase. Clandazobo currently 12-1 in the market behind Altior and York Hill, the 6-1 joint favourites. Diamond King 10-1, 12-1 for Clandazobo, and 14-1 bar those. The first race on the card, the National Hunt Maiden Hurdle, won by Jenkins at 10-11 for Nicky Henderson, being given a quote of 8-1 for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Obviously would need to brush upon the jumping, but encouraging signs there.
Of course, yeah. I mean, obviously, if he's still getting the job done, considering his jumping left a lot to be desired, it got a little bit better, but he's by no means a natural by Asimore, so he's going to take a bit of practice. But if he can take care of a good field like this, having jumped only fairly adequately, that's encouraging, isn't it? And I mean, I thought the Dan Skelton horse, Captain Foray, ran well because he missed the first hurdle in the straight very badly, and he's kept going quite nice. He just got tired right on top of the line, really, but he was the horse to take out of the race. But yeah, Jenkins, I suppose he's won ugly today, hasn't he? Because he's done everything wrong, but he's still the best horse in the race and he's won. But he is going to have to sharpen things up and just be a bit better on his feet when he steps up in grade.
Yeah, the big race of the day was the long distance hurdle, a grade two, over 3 miles, won in the past by real world hurdle heroes, the likes of Big Bucks and Thistlecrack won it a couple of years ago as well, or maybe even last year. And early on we had the likes of Barracuda and English Driver all won this race. You know what I mean, Harry won it this time. He won it fairly impressively as well, and he's now 5-1 second favourite for the world hurdle. He looks at staying hurdler going real places at the moment.
Without a doubt. I mean, he's won his last six now, hasn't he? And he did win on his reappearance as well last year, but that was a very good performance. It's a pity the Irish horse tipped up where he did. I mean, the race hadn't really began. They were just getting racing, but like I was saying to the lads in the other studio there, sometimes you see horses do that at the first hurdle in the straight, like Dan Skelton's horse did earlier, and you know, they've not jumped a hurdle, you know, there's no hurdle on the side. Sometimes they can go asleep underneath you, and maybe Sean Flanagan had that much horse under him that, you know, he was travelling that strongly. He just had a step, but he got up okay. Although it was a nasty fall, he got up okay, but it was disappointing because it would have been nice to see him put it up to, you know what I mean, Harry, because once he's fallen, Barry Gurdy's horse beat the rest off pretty quickly. Dickie Johnson's horse got very tired up the run in Menorah. He's run his heart out, you know, for an 11-year-old. The Ballyoptic has run well, was tapped for toe a long way out, and all he's done is typical Nigel Twist, and he's just kept going. But that was a reasonable performance. Ubak, he's slowly running back into form. That was a bit better again, although after being well beat at Liverpool on his reappearance. He's run better today, but you know what I mean, Harry. Was, you know, he beat them all very convincingly. He was a little bit laboured at the last, but that was simply because just through pure lack of opposition, he was a little bit lazy. But no, job done. And to say to Harry Fry, his team still don't look to be revved up to the max just yet. It was a good performance on a horse making a seasonal debut.
Yeah, yeah, impressive from, you know what I mean, Harry. And like I say, it would have been interesting to see how it would have panned out should Snow Falcon have stayed on his feet, because he was travelling very well, wasn't he? So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think it's... it might not have been quite the distance that we had in the end.
Because he's a rare visitor, Noah Mead.
Yeah.
You know, especially for hurdle races. You'll see some of his chasers come over to Cheltenham and that, but I bet he's not had many runners at Newbury, and so he obviously thinks a fair bit of this horse, and you know, it would have been nice to see his, you know, his optimism rewarded.
Yeah. We've got plenty to look on to on day two. Just before we get stuck into the actual race previews, we're not going to look at Thistle Crack's race because he's going to go off a real short price favourite, but he's in action in the novices chase at Newbury on Saturday. Do you expect him to keep his winning run going?
Yeah, is there many in it now, Mark?
I think he's got four rivals. I'll just double check.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that Colin Tizard will have schooled him since Cheltenham simply just to keep his revs down, because... You know, he said it himself after Cheltenham, and I've seen it done. It happens regular where trainers won't school horses because he was so good at Chepstow. He doesn't need the actual practice, but it's a case of keeping the gas out of his tank, because it was nearly... It sort of led to one or two hairy moments at Cheltenham simply because he was going with his choke out, and he was towing Tom Scudamore along a bit, and he was getting a bit big and pitching at the back of some of them downhill fences, but... He's so exuberant and he puts so much into it. You know, you just don't want him to pick up a cheap injury by being too gassy and enthusiastic. So, like I say, I'm pretty sure Colin Tizard would have had him off the ground at home. And I think we will see a much slicker performance tomorrow. And I'm sure Tom Skew isn't going to sort of hang fire. It wouldn't surprise me at all to let the horse go and use himself tomorrow without getting into a dog fight with anybody, but he'll let him use himself and jump, and rather than fight him and maybe make a silly mistake by trying to hang on to his head and keep the revs down, I think we'll see a much slicker and smoother performance tomorrow, and it's one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, if that's the case, it will be something to behold. Thistle Crack in there with four others. Ibis de Rue and Big Bad John aren't that bad, really, novice chasers. So it will be probably Sterney's test today, but you still expect him to win.
You would do. I mean, Big Bad John, it was a good reappearance, but, you know, you wouldn't expect him to be in Thistle Crack's league. And like I say, I think Newbury, he's won around there in the past. You know, it'll be much more to his liking tomorrow, and I don't think that Colin Tizard will have left him as fresh this time around, and like I say, I think it'll be a lot smoother.
All right, well, let's get stuck into Saturday's action in a little bit more detail. We're going to look at four races on Saturday, two from Newbury and two from Newcastle, and we'll get Paddy's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll look at the races at Newcastle first, and then we'll move on to Newbury so that we finish with the Hennessy. So there won't necessarily be in time order here. The first race that we look at is the 2:55 at Newcastle, the Fighting Fifth Hurdler, Grade 1 over 2 miles, a field of six to go to post for this one. We do have betting out as well. So Royal 2-1 at the point of recording this. Apples Jade 5-2, 11-4 for Petit Mouchoir, 4-1 Irving, 16-1 Hidden Cyclone, and Mersal is 40-1. A small field, as we usually get, I suppose, in the Fighting Fifth, but three or four very good horses in there.
It is a disappointing turnout, but this has been about the norm for the Fighting Fifth for the last few years. It generally is a pretty small field, and it's disappointing for James Armstrong, the truck of the course, because, I mean, having been at the all-weather meeting just recently, you can see that the track itself is in fantastic condition. He's done a great job on it, and I mean, the fact that the last week or 10 days we've had cold, wet, and we've had plenty of snow up that way, the track has coped pretty well, and it's disappointing for the track. But look, we're not lacking on quality, just quantity. The day,
that's the point, isn't it? There's some real, like, Apples Jade was unbelievably impressive at Aintree last year. Soraya looks a very talented young hurdler, and like I said, the numbers might be small, but there is quality in there this year.
Yeah, I mean, they are Grade One standard, you know. I mean, even the likes of old Shark Hanlon's horse, Hidden Cyclone, he's been running to a great level on the flat for a horse of his, you know, he's 11 years old. He's just got fantastic natural ability, but I mean, I don't think for me he'd be up to winning a fight in fifth. But still, he adds to quite a good spectacle here. And I mean, I was struggling, to be honest, to get away from Alan King's horse because he's been totally faultless, Mark. You know, Apple Jade was turned over last time. I'm sure we'll see her a much better performance tomorrow, but you've got to forgive her that. And in doing so, you know, she's taken on Soar Royal, who's won two Grade Twos, you know, this year. And like I say, he's been faultless. And still only 4-year-old as well. Mark at 156. I mean, there's very little between them at the weights. But that said, he's got to give her £7. But there is only £3 between them on ratings. But I was struggling to get away from him, to be honest. And I think wouldn't like to see him go much shorter because I think they're priced up pretty accordingly. But for me, I was going to have Alan King's horse to beat Apple's Jade tomorrow in the fighting fifth.
Okay, so Ryle to beat Apple's Jade then in the fighting fifth hurdle. The 3:30 is the next race to look at there. The rehearsal handicap chase, a listed race over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. 9 of them to go to post for this one. Paddy, who'd you like in there?
Now, this is the other end of the scale. I mean, generally, we have a bigger field than this for the rehearsal. And although it is only, well, it's just a few yards short of 3 mile, it's a race I've ridden in the past. It's a grueling race, Mark. It's, you know, I know it's a bit of a trial and whatever, but, you know, the likes of Wakanda, we've seen his form has tailed off after winning a race like this. It can leave its mark. I mean, the one I did like, to be honest, was the progressive horse of Brian Ellison, Definitely Red. Brian Hughes rides, and the fact that Virac stayed in, it's kept the weights down reasonably for him, you know, 10:13, lovely racing weight there. And I am surprised that it has cut up to 9, because, you know, generally it is a larger field, but it's a competitive enough race. Wakanda's in there again, but he's got to improve. He was well beat last time, and he's looking a shadow of his former self at the minute. But like I say, I think this race could well have left its mark. And Definitely Red is a horse who's on the improve. He's going forward. He comes here in form. It was a very good performance last time. Very good staying performance. And he's very good on his feet also. Like I say, Brian Hughes, he's been having a great November. And the Brian Ellison team are in good form also. So I was struggling to get away from him, if I'm honest.
Definitely Red then in the rehearsal chase there. Moving on to the action at Newbury, we start at the 2:40 there, which is an intermediate hurdle. It was the Jerry Fielden hurdle, a listed limited handicap over 2 miles, a field of 8 to go to post for this one. Where do you want to start in there, Paddy? I suppose we could start with Ozzy the Oscar for Philip Hobson.
Yeah, he was going to be my selection, to be honest. Very, very progressive, this horse. So consistent, very tough, and he's just very, very likeable. And he also likes it round there as well. And we've seen at the weekend now that Hobbsy team have been winning all around them, really. Yard are in very good order. I mean, this is a big, big ask for him, but I do think he's up to it. And although it's by no means a penalty kick, he is showing the right signs of a horse who's capable of winning a race like this. And I just think the way the yard is going, he can give weight away here and continue his winning run tomorrow.
Yeah, the yard won the race last year as well. Philip Hobson, Richard Johnson with Stern Rubin. So it's the rest they've got history in. Where's the main danger to him in there?
The other one I did look at, I thought Warren Greatrex's horse had a chance, but he is going to have to come back a little bit. Ritual of Senses. Warren Greatrex's horses, I wouldn't say are running badly. It's just the odd one is really bombing out. Which obviously it is a little bit worrying, but that said, on the whole, they've been running reasonably well. There's others in there, Nicky Henderson's horse, but it's a competitive enough race. But I just think for a 5-year-old, Ozzy the Oscar, we still haven't seen the best of him, and he's still on the improve. And like I say, with his liking for the course and the form of the yard, it's impossible to get away from him. But you know, I would be going for Greatrex's horse to maybe finishing the money.
Okay, so a couple to consider there. Ozzy the Oscar, the main selection. Ritual of Senses, one to look at from an each way angle. The 3:10 at Newbury is the big race of the afternoon. The Hennessy Gold Cup Chase, a Grade 3 handicap over 3.25 miles. There's 20 of them in the lineup, and market headed by Native River, who is 5-1, 7-1 Black Lion. Henri Paramorgan is 7-1, 8-1 and Tompo 2. Vita de Rock 8-1, 9-1 Sapphire de Rur. Last year's winner Smad Place is 10s, 18-1 Theatre Guide, 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. Several angles into here. The likes of Native River, who's obviously been aimed at the race for a long time. Black Lion, who'd been well backed last year's RSA winner as well. And Tom Portu for David Pipe. And Tom Scudamore, could be a good day for Tom Scudamore should Thistlecrack win as well. And last year's winner Smad Place, Paul Nichols has said about Sapphire de Rur needing to step up and actually live up to his reputation, if you like. So we'll give you a few stabs at this. Who'd you like in there yourself?
You would need two or three stabs, I think, because it is that competitive. I mean, Sapphire de Rur has always been the nearly horse, hasn't he? He hits the board, but you know, it's getting him on the bullseye. He's been so difficult. He has been disappointing. And it's going to take a lot of forgiveness to be confident about him tomorrow. But fair play, Paul Nichols, he's not pulled any punches with him. He said he is going to have to improve. I mean, he's 7-year-old. As far as jumpers go, there still is time for him to improve, but there's no doubt he certainly has to. The one I did like, although he's got plenty of weight, but with Smad Place staying in, he's got 11-4 on Tom Portu. And Tom Scoo's been very confident about this horse, Mark. You know, he's really talked him up and, he really, really looking forward to the ride. For me, I thought Native River, very, very likeable horse, great attitude. He's won round the course before. Whether 11 stone 1 is just enough weight on this horse's back, because he's only small. He's only I won't call him small, but he's only a handy-sized horse. And to carry that sort of a weight in a race of this nature is going to be a hell of a performance. But look, he's not going to lack for grit or heart. And he's good on his feet, great jumping technique, and a great will to win this horse. But he's going to need all of it. He's going to have to step forward again. It is possible. He's only 6. It is possible. And out of the two, I would prefer Native River simply down to his attitude. But I think Tom Portu is a very, very talented horse. Very, very good performance on his reappearance. Maybe surprise connections a little bit. The David Pipe Yard have been, I won't say slow to get going. They've had 4 winners in the last fortnight, so they're ticking along nicely. They haven't had absolutely stacks and stacks of runners the last fortnight, but they've been tipping along okay. So I wouldn't put people off them at all. Down at the lower end of the weights, Cool Oak for Charlie Longs and the 7-year-old. Adrian Heskin rides. Looked like a horse who could be on the improve. I think he could be capable of sneaking a little bit of money here without having the class or ability to win a race of this nature. But for me, Tom Portu, to be chased home maybe by the Tizard horse, Native River and Cool Oak.
So a few against the field there then. Tom Portu currently 8-1 in the market, and Native River is 5-1 in the market at the moment, and Cool Oak a big price, 25-1 if that one could sneak into the frame for Paddy there then. Superb, Paddy, thank you very much. Should we just have a little bit of a quick summary before I go? Just nominate just the selections one more time.
Yeah, back to Newcastle, and in the fighting fifth I went for So Royale for Alan King and Darrell Jacob. Small field, but he's rock solid form. Really couldn't fault him so far this time round. So I'm taking him to be Apple's Jade in the fighting fifth. In the rehearsal, I've gone for the Brian Ellison train, definitely red. He's 2 from 5 over fences. He is a point winner. He stays well. And although it's a very competitive race, Brian Hughes rides, and he's a horse for me. He's certainly on the up. Down at Newbury in the 240, I went for Ozzy the Oscar. Handicapper has rated him 144. He's same thing, been absolutely faultless, very consistent. He's not been out of the money his last 6-7 runs. Good performance at Wetherby last time. Stable are going very well, especially at the weekend in the big races. Although he's got plenty of weight, he looks to me like an improver. And he was my selection, Ozzy the Oscar, in the 240. And in the big one, the Hennessy competitive race. But finally, I decided that on Tom Portu was going to be my winning selection. Tom Scoo's been quite confident about this horse. Yard is tipping along okay, couldn't really fault them. They're 4 from 23 in the last fortnight. And my play selections there were Native River for the Colin Tizard team and the horse of Charlie Longston's, a little bit lower down the way, Cool Oak, just to maybe fill the frame at a price, but very competitive race. But Tom Portu with 11 stone 4 on his back, but it's wide open and a bit of a race I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, should be superb. Thank you very much, Paddy. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Thanks, pal.
There you go. The thoughts of Paddy Aspel on Saturday's racing. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. Myself, Mark Walton, will be in the studio with Mick Norton and Andrew Mount. We've got Hennessy Go Cup Day at Newbury, Fighting 50 at Newcastle, Doncaster and Bangor alongside that in the afternoon, and all other action in the evening from Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.